Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars here on the eve of Hurricane Matthew coming up the East Coast. It's going to be an exciting time the next couple of days, but not any more exciting than what we've got for you tonight. We've got a great show lined up. First of all, this is Dr. John with the Cape Fear Comic-Con, and I would like to introduce my guest co-host for the evening, the host himself of WCW Retro right here on Blog Talk Radio and the VOC Nation, none other than Papa Stro Maestro. Papa Stro, are you there with us?
Yes, great to be here. How you doing?
Well, it's good to have you here. What are you up to these days? I know you're on the road right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm currently right now escaping Hurricane Matthew, first off, and then I have a show Saturday in Wayne, West Virginia at the fairgrounds for SCW Live Pro Wrestling. Myself will be there, the Rock and Roll Express, and many others. Been doing, like, still doing the wrestling thing along with acting for television and film. Got a few movies coming out soon. One's called Checkpoint with myself and my WCW alumni brother, Bill Goldberg, William Forsythe, Kenny Johnson from Sons of Anarchy and The Shield, Fred Williamson, The Hammer, the all-star cast. And for more information, go to checkpointmovie.com. Also have a children's film be out next year called The Rack Pack with myself and C. Thomas Howell and Randy Jones of the Village People. And it's a great movie for the whole family to check out, and that will be out 2017. And for more info, just type in the Rack Pack, RACKPACK, on Facebook, and you get more details on that. The trailer's out now also as well. I also have a movie out now currently called Son of Clowns, which out in selected theaters and film festivals playing, and we'll be making its premiere next month in November at Wilmington, North Carolina. And for more info on that, go to cineclowns.com. And I do have another premiere this coming Wednesday at the Calico Room in Wilmington, North Carolina, called The Brother Statue, which will be premiering at the Calico Room this coming Wednesday in Wilmington, North Carolina. For more information on that, go to thebrotherstatue.com. Excuse me, The Brother Statue on Facebook. Just type in that, The Brother Statue, and to find a website, all the info. But, yeah, things are going great, doing really good. I'm just really blessed and be here and see what the good Lord takes me next.
Well, that sounds good, and we'll do our best to be up there. Comic-Con Stars will try to be up there for your premiere this coming Wednesday. We're looking forward to that. Now, a very special guest tonight, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, certainly one of my heroes in the ring for all time. I won't say much more than not only is he a great wrestler, a great champion, and a great human being, he's also a wrestling teacher, and he has taught some great wrestlers, including Papa Stro Maestro. Papa Stro, why don't you tell us the name of this great guest that we've got with us tonight?
You know, words can't do this gentleman justice, this a legend in every sense of the word. In my estimation, my humble estimation, one of the greatest of all time himself, the Russian Bear, Ivan Koloff.
Hey, Papa
Ivan Koloff, we are so glad to have you here.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor for low-life old Russian Bear to to grace here, the waves here, especially with the waves being shuttered the way they are in this last couple of days, and they're going to come our way. Man, I didn't know that you created that much excitement, Stro, with movies and everything that's going on. But even the waves are stirring up the weather and everything. That's great, brother. Glad to hear that you're doing great. And, man, yeah, go back to the days that you came around down to the wrestling school and was showing off some of your skills and everything. Man, the time goes so fast. I just marvel at, if I'd known I was going to live this long, put it that way, I would have took care of myself, you know.
Right. Exactly.
But I've been keeping busy. I hear the you run down there, some of the stuff you're doing, Stroh, that's great, man. I'd like to click into some of that stuff and be able to at least catch you out there performing. And I had the honor just last weekend to go to the show in Dorton Arena, and they had Ric Flair, Rick Steamboat, old man Jimmy Valiant there, the Hardy Boys, Nasty Boys, a whole bunch of guys. And I just got to mingle with them a bit and do some autographs and a lot of excitement. I stayed over Saturday and Sunday, and they had the Bikers Convention there. And, man, hundreds and hundreds of bikes in town, and the whole town was shut down so that they could have vendors out there. And I ended up being part of that by going down and giving my testimony on the service on Sunday morning, and that was a thrill. And mm-hmm. really got to enjoy myself. But, yeah, there's some things coming up of interest. Just surprised anybody ever calls me anymore than back there in the 1800s, you know. But, I got a few things coming up myself as far as events. I got that CSA show up in Chantilly coming up on the 15th, going up there to be with my friend, Friendly Box Breaks, Joey, and his crew, and just have a good time visiting with the folks. And then from there, I've got a wedding coming up, performing on Atlantic Beach, just some good stuff like that, ministry stuff, where I end up going out and talking, and still got the privilege of going down and being part of different local wrestling matches and such. It's a thrill just to run into some of the boys and, of course, yourself, Robbie. We don't get to see each other a lot, but it's always a thrill to see you, brother.
Oh, always a pleasure, sir. I saw some of that footage that High Spots aired of that Dorton Arena event you mentioned, and it looked amazing.
Oh, did it show some of that? Oh, great. Yeah, because I didn't get to visit a lot of the boys that I wanted to, because I had a lineup of people wanting autographs, so I didn't feel like I should just shun them. But I got close to Jimmy Valiant, and the old Rick came over and said hello, and a few of the guys. But, yeah, I was thrilled. I'm surprised the Dorton Arena had that many people there. It was great just to see some of my old friends, Ricky Steamboat and such. But I like to see them in these conditions rather than facing them in the ring, for sure, because they're all great competitors. They'll make you huff and puff, for sure.
I saw some old footage of you. It was a segment you did with Pat Patterson where you just smacked the snot out of him.
Yeah, you know,
I was even watching it. I was like, I feel it watching it through the screen, you know.
Well, what happened there, and I really didn't mean to knock his head off, although I wanted just to make sure it looked good, and it did. But, you know, we did the same thing down in Florida when the Pat mm-hmm. was down there, and he was helping with the commentating. And it was sort of right out of the blue that ended up where I was interviewed, and I was insulting the Americans and all this, and getting on their case, and guys are wrestling again, and even called Pat down, and he hung off and slapped me, and got me a little high on the eardrum, and I mean, I got hurt before, so I let it go, of course. I think Pat always thought that a few years later when I was up in New York and was doing an interview, and he was a commentator, and I had just had surgery on my right shoulder because I had been broken a couple years before hitting the post down mm-hmm. in Florida wrestling against Dusty Rhodes, and I don't all turned all black, and I had fractured it, and about a year later, I couldn't hardly raise it, mm-hmm. so I had to go in and get surgery, loosen up the spurs and such, and I ended up angle with Pat where on the interview, something the same as before, although this time it was, I was to lay him out, to slap him. And I only had so much movement in that arm, so I just turned my whole body into it and got my weight behind it. I knocked the heck out of him, and I guess it looked like that, too, on the video.
Sure did.
And I know Pat thought, I know he got mad for real there. I heard a few of the words coming out of his mouth, and I knocked him down. And he came up to his feet. As you notice, I started exiting right away because I figured Pat was hot enough to jump on me there, so I figured I better wait till later. And it worked, though. We had a good go around the territory where Pat and I wrestled each other, and that was a thrill because, of course, Pat goes way back. Him and Ray Stevens, you know, the great team back in the, I guess, the 70s. It was just a thrill any time to have, you know, a wrestling match against him, and we always did real good. But that's the story behind that. And I know I hit him real hard, and I hope that I didn't bust his eardrum like he had done with him. I didn't do it for that reason. I did it to look good, you know, and make sure when I hit somebody, it didn't look like I was being a wimp, you know. And I laid him out for sure, and he came up with a few choice words for sure, and he had a chance to get back at him because he went around the territory wrestling, and he was throwing some pretty wild punches there at me in some of those matches. I know that, but I think you even got a match with me on the record book show where we did a show, I think, in your area years and years ago. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, where you had your hand raised over, I think, in a Russia chain match, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. How could I forget?
That was unique to say the least. But I claim a foul because the arthritis was getting to me that day.
Ivan,
this
was a pleasure.
Dr. Garf, where did you do that Russian chain match?
I think that was in Wilmington, North Carolina, I believe. I think it was at Trask. It was at Trask High School.
Because I had sort of forgotten about that. The ones where you lose, you try to forget. And I think I seen you had played at some place for a promotion or on one of your talks and that. And I said, all right. So it was smart. You kept a copy of that video. That's good, But always excelled in the wrestling school when you came down. And I can't really take all the credit for teaching you, but I hope you ended up learning a few things from the old Russian bear. And I know I always had a thrill working with you and against you type of thing.
It was always an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, same here. Yes, sir. And still having shows are great. I'm looking forward to seeing you and the brother there down in Wilmington coming up on the 29th. And I'm going to be over in Sumter. They changed the date in Sumter because of this. I was supposed to be there this Saturday, and they had changed because of the storm. And I'm going to come back on the 5th and try to do it down in Sumter to see some of my old friends and fans. But I'm really looking forward to the Wilmington thing because I'm going to have other wrestlers, including yourself there, Robbie, right?
I'll be at the Cape Fear Halloween Con on October 29th for sure. I'm still kind of. I'll be in Richmond on the 5th with GXW Pro Wrestling.
All right.
That deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I got a funny story to tell you. When they changed the date for Sumter, they got 10 phone calls in a row saying, is Ivan Koloff going to be there on November the 5th? They got no other phone calls, but is Ivan Koloff going to be there otherwise we're not coming. So they were very glad when you said you'd be able to make it. So you'll make the show there in Sumter. In fact, I'll be there with you.
Well, great, brother. I look forward to it. Yeah, I ended up having the date free. It was supposed to have a wedding, and people postponed it. So then I ended up calling one of the Walmarts here. One of my pet fundraisers for the last 24 years been the Children's Miracle Network with the conjunction with Walmart and such. And I've been all over the place doing autographs for that just to try to help raise some money for the kids. And I ended up calling one of the stores, and they okayed it, but they worked with me. They just come in another day, you know. And so that's good. I'll be able to change that and be in Sumter. Look forward to seeing some of my old fans and some of the boys that are going to drop in there. I heard that a few of them that I've met over the years is going to stop in. And it's a thrill anytime get to see the fans and that, because I get to hear always the stories about whether I ended up doing something to one of them or to somebody in the ring or another fan or something like that. And some of the events over the years, and they got a kick out of it. And I really, I entertain myself just by listening to some of the stories. So that's great.
You know, Ivan, you've it's like, and like you're walking encyclopedia. I mean, you've pretty much done so much for the wrestling business through the years. I mean, being on top with Bruno Sammartino for the WWF title, and not only in being in great singles matches, but in tag matches with great partners like just a few, you know, my Don Cornudo and Nikita Koloff. What a ride! You know, what a great career you've had.
Well, you know what? I look back, you know, because I started in '62 around Toronto, and I came right out of the wrestling school, and I wrestled as a different character simply because I wanted to get the experience of wrestling for the first 7-8 years, and it took me to the West Coast and even Stu Hart, Calgary, after I went to Japan and met Jacques Rougeau, which was a promoter's brother from Montreal, and he lined me up to commit to Montreal in '67 to wrestle Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear, to wrestle as him. And then I was thrilled to agree with that for sure, seeing the writing on the wall ahead of time, knowing I was given an opportunity there. But right after that, on my way out to Montreal, I ended up seeing the famous Stu Hart and wrestling his territory for a couple weeks, and bringing along Buddy Roberts. A lot of people don't realize that, but I was instrumental in meeting Buddy Roberts, one of the three birds that unfortunately we lost a couple years ago to cancer. But he had been with me in Calgary and came out to Montreal with me. So, yeah, I got to wrestle some of the greats of the past, Igor, Edward Capanche. I even wrestled with tag team with Ernie the Cat Ladd, Hunt Smith. And I wrestled guys like Bobo Brazil, Haystack Calhoun. I mean, some really legendary names in the business, you know, just to mention a few. And, I can think back, get the chance to wrestle Andre when he first came over here. And he was a mere 400 pounds at the time. And, of course, I thought I had a bit of a chance because I was over 300 pounds. But, man, with that guy, you had no chance at all. But, you know, Rob, you know, you got to be around him yourself. He was just indeed a giant. And you got to wrestle him even when he was up 550 pounds and hug around a bit with him. He always took a liking to me because I guess I would take time to visit with him and even go out and have a few beers with him. But you know the stories that go around. I mean, I drink a pint of beer. He'd drink a quart of beer, you know, because he's a giant, right? And even one time in St. Louis, there was going to be a handicap match. It was supposed to be three of us against, but only one at a time come in. Only you had to tag to come in to wrestle Andre. We all jumped in. The three of us jumped on him. He still won the match. And they just looked like he was just playing because, man, he was a creature of, I mean, that in a class of his own, you know, type thing. But to think back that I ended up wrestling the great guys like that, like Whipper Billy Watson, Bulldog Brown, wrestled with them and team and against them, you know, and Johnny Powers and some names in the business to go way back, Neil Mesquitas, and, you know, in the business, the Rujos, of course, up there. And I always got to mention the Rujos because Jacques Rougeau was the one that ended up recognizing me with some talent in Japan in 67 and, or 66, I should say, and bringing me into Montreal in 67. And, man, that was the start of my career as Ivan Cole, you know. But, yeah, so many stories about me. You know, yourself, I'm sure you've got a lot to tell about the different partners you had, the characters and the stories that go behind it, and the things that happen. One quick story, maybe you heard it before, with Bud Sawyer, guy, you know, from, we were tag team partners. We're up in Ohio and West Virginia this one night, Williamson or one of those towns. Anyway, we came out of the match, and it was a street fight we had, and we ended up going into this place to get a, you know, six pack or whatever, some treats, and to drive on to Charleston or whatever. And I was in front of Buzz, and he was behind me a ways to check it out. And I went outside, and sure enough, there was a fan there. He said, "You guys don't know how to street fight. Let me show you how to street fight." I said, "Oh, you want to street fight me? Okay." I went to put the bag down. I was stuck really watching him close so he didn't suffer me or something. And by the time I raised up again, Buzz was out the door, had this guy picked up like an airplane spin and smashing him down on the concrete, rubbing his face in the concrete. Oh, man. They came down, and the police was really comical. I mean, talk about the guy, fight, what was his name, on Andy Griffin there. Anyway, he came out, and the cop, and he looked just like that police officer. He had his gun pulled, and he pointed at, "Drop that man." He said, you know, the Buzz. And Buzz dropped him, of course. He got, you know, pulled belts or something, swinging around. But we got to just go down and put up a little small fine type of thing, and that I was told. But, man, that's just one of the tales of all the crazy. I got probably dozens of stories like that I could tell you about different things that happened. And, oh, that go way back, trips to Japan, barroom fights, dressing room fights that happened, that guys are kind of upset with each other and they're trying to prove things. I'm sure you got a few as yourself, Robin, that you had to witness over the years. Yeah, but man, it's
been an adventure.
It is. It really is. I would change the world. You know, since I was 8 years old, I had seen wrestling on television. It was at a friend's place of the family because we didn't have money. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have TV. And wrestling was on. We went over to their house. I was 8 years old. And since that day, I've seen it on TV. I kept talking. I'm going to be a championship wrestler one day. I'm going to be the champion. Up on it. And she'd go around calling me a little champ. Championship wrestler. And, of course, all my brothers, I had nine siblings, you know, the it was the type of thing, you know, I was a middle kid, so I had to prove myself to them. There a lot of wrestling matches there, bloody noses, straights in the elbows and everything. But that's where I got my experience from, my brothers and that. And even my sister, when I walked across her floor, she would whack me across the head with a mop if I dirtied her floor or something. So I wasn't too much of a big shot to step on their toes. That's great. But, yeah, a lot of adventures, to say the least.
Oh, goodness. You know, that's, wow. And you're just like just hitting the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's so many places you've been, so many experiences you've gone through. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing life you've had. And so what's So tell us about what all you know you're doing these days, and you know, and how you're reaching out to people
in your own way?
Well, you know, I ended up going through quite a time in my career, as you know, and probably a lot of people heard now, because I put it in my book that I had out, The Bare Facts, by Ivan Koloff, and I ended up explaining a lot of this, how it all came about. But since I was a kid, you know, raised on the farm, you had to work hard, get together for harvesting or whatever. If you're 10, 12 years old, you worked like a man. You did chores and everything. So when it came to celebration time, harvest day, you know, you were allowed to have a beer or two because you worked like a man. So I figured as I got older, that's, you know, acceptable. So as I got into wrestling, you know, the one or two beers turned into a six-pack to turn into a 12-pack, and depending on the length of the trip. And pretty soon some injuries, you know, wrestling introduced the drugs, you know, the painkillers and sleeping pills because you got broken shoulder or sprained ankle or whatever, you know, the butt broken rib, or you're putting up with this, so you end up pretty soon if you didn't have a doctor, it's time to go to the doctor, you get into the street, and pretty soon you're not only an alcoholic, but you're, you know, tipping on the scales of a drug addict. And as the drugs went along, it went from painkillers to heavy stuff like cocaine and whatever it may be. It was just the choice of whatever is available, I guess. And I can remember some pretty wild trips, and by myself sometimes, and sometimes with other guys, but I don't usually mention the other guys, but I ended up going through some ordeals that I could say truthfully, not only hundreds of times, but thousands of times, I probably could have been killed because of the condition I was in, getting home, driving home, like a six-hour trip, say, from Norfolk to Charlotte, or Charleston, West Virginia, or wherever it would have been, whether I was driving my car or not. I can remember being intoxicated and being so messed up that I was not. And a lot of times get caught, too, with that situation. And I must say, police officers have been nice to me over the years because a few times I had to go in and pay the price, but a few times they let me, you know, let me go. But I must say that I can remember a couple car wrecks that was so bad that totaled the cars, and I was knocked out and woke up, and, you know, a car totaled, and I went to the hospital, and like a dozen stitches or two dozen stitches in my head, and that's it, you know. Other time, well, it was since I straightened up, supposedly, I had to, I wasn't taking the drugs or the only one doctors had me on. Just 10 years ago, my wife and I was going into Charlotte to do an event, speaking at a church and doing autographs for charity, and from the East Coast here, and ended up going through, I went through what was a green light on my side with this lady, had a child that was on, I guess, some oxygen or something in her van, and she didn't see the light, and she came through, T-boned me in the driver's side, broke six of my ribs, my sternum, and knocked this hose out my wife and I, and that was a close call there. Could have been killed for sure. When I came to, I was in the middle of the car. My wife was jammed up against the passenger door, and they had the jaws to get me out of there. And even as bad as my back was at that time with injuries in the ring, I refused to have surgery on my back. Ended up going to the hospital, but they wanted to do surgery. And I said, no. I said, I'm still able to move, so I don't want to do no surgery. So. But anyway, that was just some of the events, you know. So whether you're, you know, intoxicated or not intoxicated, sometimes those situations happen and it's not your fault, but it happens. But the times that it probably should have happened when I was really intoxicated or messed up on the drugs and doing these crazy things, man, I don't think a lot of the kids would want to follow in my footsteps today when they hear some of these stories like this, but I emphasize it simply for that reason, so they will not go into drugs and alcohol, and they'll be strong and stay away from that stuff, just from some of the stories that I'm telling, because no kidding, I got to the point that I was so bad, I was carrying a gun, I was dealing the stuff, and I was doing stuff that I'd be arrested for if I was stopped today. And not proud of that fact, but I had a situation where I ended up away from WCW in the late 80s, like 89, and went to the independent circuit and was wrestling with them, and knowing that I was in bad shape with the alcohol, the drugs and all that, and I was fighting myself for 2-3 years there to try to get off of this stuff, you know, and I just couldn't do it. I'd go right back to it, and ended up getting really frustrated and going through some tight situations with accidents and stuff that I ended up, well, of course, my nephew Nikita heard about it, and he ended up giving me a call one day, and he told me something that I didn't put together. He says, "You need God in your life. You need Jesus in your life." I said, "What are you talking about, Nicky?" I said, "Man, I was raised in church. I know who Jesus is." He says, "Not that. The devil knows who Jesus is, too, and I don't think I'm a Christian." And
wow.
If you want God to work in your life, you better accept God and, you know, verify the fact with him, you know. So I got some information off him, and he told me what I should do and what he had done, and I followed and ended up receiving Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then only then, when I'm reaching out to God, was I able to get off of the stuff. And that was way back in the 90s. And I ended up turning my life over in 95 and just saying, but I had to face the fact that I was not a good father, not a good husband, not a good man. I was, you know, able to disguise it out there with the wrestling, you know, but I guess my personality probably blended in with, came across as a good guy, but I was a very dangerous person when you're doing stuff like that and dealing with the stuff, you know, and man, it's a wonder I'm alive, brother. And I'm here to say today I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I've got a patient God, a loving God, that ended up not pushing me aside, because that's probably what I deserve. But I ended up receiving Christ, my Lord and Savior, and just getting out there and praying to him, asking for help. And man, it was within weeks that it started happening. The marijuana, the pills, the drinking was something put aside first, and there was outposts. I couldn't afford any hard stuff anymore. And the dealing, I know, was totally off, so I was away from that. But God is great, and just to have turned me around, and to this day I can say that I've been clean of the stuff, and it's all because of his mercy. And so now when I go to places and speak at churches or end up talking to the youth group or to kids in juvenile detention or guys in jail, I can really talk from experience, you know. Not that I'm proud of that fact, but it's something that kids need to hear today, you know, that, yeah, you might be able to end up being famous and done what you needed to do out there. This goes not only for wrestlers, but football players. They got the same story, a lot of them, boxers, you know, whatever, you know, golfers and all that. If they were to admit it, maybe not all of them, but I'm here to say that thank you, Jesus. Thank you for having mercy on me and not pushing me aside, because it was a testing ground there for quite a while, and I still look at it as a testing ground to this day. That's why I try to go out and brag on his goodness each and every day and give him all the credit, because I know that's the only reason I'm here. You know what I'm saying, Rob?
Oh, absolutely. That's beautiful. That's awesome. Wow. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, God is awesome. He really is.
It is. Yeah, he really is. You know, I had to go back and say all of that, you know, to let my listeners know that where I'm at today, because of I got ordained here 10 years ago, so that I could have credibility with the people. And as it turns out, I get some work from it also, because people want me to come out and officiate a wedding with them, you know, whether it's in prison or out of prison, or where it is, on the beach or in the ring or whatever. I accommodate them because I feel that God has given me this platform to be able to go out there and just brag on his goodness. And I try to qualify myself as good as I can, or as well as I can, and still working on it, of course. But I just would recommend it to everyone, definitely, you know, anybody that's in some sports and all that, because, and they're making big money, or making money, because that temptation, you know, to be there with your friends and to join in and be part of the party, is so hard to resist, that a person needs to be strong. And whoever may hear this, I don't care what age you are or how bad you think you are, you're not too bad for the Lord to love you, and you're not too good either, because there's none of us without sin. So that's what the Bible says, and it's the word of God, and I take it as being the truth, and I know what it is. And for a person to sit back and say that I can handle that on my own, I'm here to say I tried it on my own and I couldn't do it. And I think I'm a pretty dedicated, stubborn guy, and willing to put the effort behind it. And I wasn't able to do it until I got my tag team partner and the Lord. And so I like to brag on that. And yeah, so it opens up doors. Like, I'll go to some places to speak, churches and whatever it may be, different parties or whatever it may be, birthday parties or whatever, or wrestling events, officiated weddings right at the wrestling events. So it's not out of the question. But I just am glad to state that I'm now got my youngest daughter who lives here in the same town. She's a gospel singer, Highway Revival. For those who want to check them out, check her out, highwayrevival.com. And she's the beautiful one with the curly hair, blonde hair, beautiful voice. She got that from me, of course, because I don't have the curly hair anymore or the voice. She got that from me. I claim that anyway. But if you ever want to hear their group, highwayrevival.com, just check them out. And of course, my site is ivankoloff.com. You know, I got my stuff on there, pictures to help my ministry, or to do for the Children's Miracle, or whatever the cause may be, or the people would like to help out my ministry. It's I'm not too proud to help, to get some help, to be able to keep going and doing stuff. I love doing appearances with my friends like yourself. Rob, any time to see the old timers, or I call them all old timers. If you got 10 years in the business, you're an old timer. Yeah, don't feel embarrassed because I say that. But, I'm really proud of you too, Rob. What you've taken yourself with doing the movies and stuff today. Man, I know you make mom and dad proud, and man, you're doing good, brother. I'm glad and proud to know that I met you and took time to even be a friend with you, because only somebody of a good character, and I want everybody to know out there that I've always considered you a friend, and your parents do. Please say hello to mom and dad there for me.
I sure will. They love you to death, and I love you to death too. And
love you too.
I mean, you're just amazing. I can't thank you enough for everything, really.
Well, like I say, it's my honor now that it all worked out for the better, you might say. I've got a lovely wife there now that was a Christian lady, and you know, I was hard to put up with for many years and all that. And I'm just glad to have a good wife. Renee really puts up with me and helps me in my ministry and that. And the idea of having a daughter out there that I'm proud of, and a son-in-law that goes out and sings for the Lord, and some three grandbabies, and another one on the way. Three.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all girls. With my youngest daughter here, and proud of them. They're doing real good. They love the Lord, and they're all doing good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you again, Rob. I'm going to hit one of these places where you're going to be at. I know you got your thing up there in Richmond coming up. I'm going to be in Richmond myself here coming up.
Awesome.
Well, near Richmond, New Kent, Virginia. That's the 15th. Yep, I'm going to go up to Chantilly and do the CSA show up there, and then come down for Saturday night, New Kent, and have the wrestling matches there. There's several wrestlers there that, like the Midnight Express, I think part of them there, Ricky Morton, I believe. Anyway, there's a few of the great wrestlers of the past that's going to be there. And I'm looking forward to that, and end up having it as a ministry also. So I'm going to give my testimony that night to the people. And I really appreciate this opportunity to be able to get out there and talk about the upcoming show in Wilmington down there, the 29th, our friend there. Look forward to seeing John there and all of the guys down at Wilmington. It's the 29th, and I think that's during the daytime, I believe. Yeah, from right into the afternoon, from 9 to 11, I think it is. Not too sure of the times right there. I don't have my book in front of me, but
I think that one's 10 to 6, and you're going to be there, I think, 10 to 2 or 3. Right? Does that sound right,
yeah,
Ivan?
That sounds right, yeah. And now you got, yeah, I just didn't have my book out here because I know that night I got to go to another event. So I keep on the go, yeah. You know, it's like, right, Rob? Yeah, I keep moving that way. Yeah, the sparks won't turn into flames if you keep moving. But that's right. Are good too, man. Yeah. And then, of course, going to be up there for Ray up at his Pokagon, I guess a toy store on the 5th of in Carolina. I'm going to be up there myself and enjoying meeting some of the wrestling fans in the past, I'm sure, and saying hello to them. I'll be there for the afternoon and look forward to that. So maybe mark in your calendar if you're in that area. Come down and see us. I'd appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. We're going to have a great time down there. And Ivan, thank you very much for your insights. You have shared some wonderful things with us, some things that will help change people's lives. And I really want to thank you for doing it. I want to thank Rob, Maestro, for introducing me to you. The funny story is they called me from Sumter and they wanted a wrestler. So I called Rob and he said, "No, I can't be there." I said, "Well, can you find me somebody else?" He said, "Yeah, I'll send you a text." And then about 30 minutes later, I got the biggest surprise in my life. The text simply said Ivan Koloff and a phone number. And I called Rob up. I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean, Ivan Koloff?" He said, "Oh, you know, I trained with him. He just right down the road." And I said, "Well, you know, like everything else, if I ask you for a favor, if I need something, you know, you deliver it. It's unbelievable." So then I started talking to you, Ivan, and we arranged the Sumter event, and I'm glad you're going to be able to reschedule that. So yeah, it was wonderful how everybody works together, and we really appreciate your message tonight.
Well, thank you, sir.
I guess
appreciate that. Indeed.
I guess I've got one final question. If you had to leave people with instructions about what would be the best thing they could do to change their lives, what would it be?
Well, I tell the youngsters today, of course, you know, try to get your education. You know, I ended up quitting high school before I even graduated. And I always regretted that, but I wanted to be a wrestler, you know. And my pride was hurt a little bit because I got cocked breaking one of the rules with my younger brother. We were playing table tennis, and then the bell rang, and we were supposed to quit. And there was the third warning, and they sent me to the principal's office, and he was going to suspend me for 3 days. And I said, well, you can just forget about it, I'm quitting. And that was the stupidest thing, to quit, because my pride was hurt. And so I try to tell kids, you know, if you have to help mom and dad to go to college, you know, get out there and get a job and get that education, you know, because that'll really help you in life later on. And, of course, always try to obey the law and stay out of trouble, because once you end up getting into trouble like that, it just seems to snowball into the other stuff, the drugs and the alcohol and all that stuff, because you start to deal with the bad guys. So that's my, theme to, you know, to the kids. You know, if you put 100% effort into wherever you want to go, whether it's football, basketball, wrestling, whatever it is, and if you've got some talent behind it, you know, and you put that effort really means a lot. But it's got to be directed effort. It can't be something that you go about listening to everybody, even if you know that they're wrong and they're talking, telling you it's okay to do drugs. It's okay to smoke the weed. It's okay to pop the pills and all that. You're listening to the wrong guys, because I was one of those guys, and I know that that's the wrong thing. What I'm doing today, I know is the right thing. And do you suck it up? Go out there. I've been down going 10 years, and I don't do it anymore because they changed the policy now. I went to the juvenile detention home here in my area here for 10 years, every month. And I meet some of these guys on the street today. And it's like 10 years later now, 15 years later, some of them going on 20 years later, they say, hey, Ivan Kola, do you remember you came down there, blah, blah, blah? I say, yeah, how you doing? And they tell me, and I hear so many great stories because of they listened. They listened to, you know, don't do that. Don't go up there in the drugs. Don't go bring the law. Don't, you know, suck it up and be a man. And so many of them came back to me and said, thanks a lot, you know, for giving me good advice back then and taking your time to do it, because it really made a difference. And that makes me feel 10 feet tall, you know, and being able to know that it's helped somebody, and to direct them in the right direction. Because, you know, who better than somebody who's been there, done that, and ended up, you know, get into the trouble and being on the stuff, you know, that at least a person could listen to somebody like that and say, well, he's got some credibility, because I know he's been down that road, and man, say, don't do it, because you're going to be sorry. But I guess that's what I'd say, is just tough it out, whatever it may be, suck it up early in life, and be a man or be a woman, and offer to help mom and dad that they need help to go to college or whatever it takes, and go out there and put a big effort into it. You'll be glad you did when you get older. You'll be glad that you listened to that advice and did it, for man enough or woman enough to do it. God bless you all, and I pray that'll soak in and really be a help to you. And I appreciate this offer tonight to be able to come on here. I've gone long-winded and I go on and on and on. But Robbie, Ray, thank you so much for allowing me to do this, John, and be out here.
Thank
and,
you.
Yeah. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Ivan. All right, well, look, I want to say good night from Comic-Con Stars. We want to thank our guest, Ivan Koloff, who's been great. I want to thank our guest host tonight, Rob Kellum, Papastro Maestro. He took his time out from a road trip to join us for an hour. So thanks to both of you. I look forward to having you back on here again. And we'll see everyone next time on Comic-Con Stars. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You too, guys. God bless.
God bless you.